Hey there, listeners. This is a bonus episode about trends in the physician relations space and the digital tools that are being used to modernize providers' business growth. It's a greatest hits collection from season 2 of the Actionable Insights podcast hosted by Doctivity Health. We all know that providers have to address the bottom line before they can prioritize things like consumer experience. So these are important conversations that you'll want to hear. Let's do this. New choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer-first health is the evolution. Status quo, or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go. All right, everyone. Today's episode features interviews with 5 senior marketing and physician liaison leaders who voiced the health system's perspective. You'll hear from Gene Hitchcock, Melissa Forrest Shackelford, Molly Luton, Chris Pace, and Amy Como. These were all recorded at HMPS 2024, the Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategies Summit, with guest host James Gardner. For the full interviews, check out season 2 of Actionable Insights at DoctivityHealth.com or your favorite podcast app. First up is Gene Hitchcock, well-known marketing, communications, and strategy leader. Gene talks about PRM software, where it fits into a chief experience officer's toolkit, challenges for physician liaisons to grow the business, and advice for CXOs on PRM best practices.
And how should a modern CXO leader be thinking about it in 2024?
Well, I have said this many, many times at many, many national conferences, but you can take every penny of my marketing budget, but don't touch my liaisons. Wow. They bring the most actionable information back to the ranch when they meet with the right physicians and have those critical conversations about business. What was missing was we didn't have insights into the referral market to know how much of Dr. Y's business were we getting, how much was Dr. X sending out and why, and we didn't have a handle on network integrity. So when I started playing around with the potential of Doctivity, I'm like, my God, I can see who is referring to every doctor on my medical staff and every medical staff member to whom they're referring. And that way, focus your liaisons. They should only have 3 things on their job description: grow the business, retain the business, and identify problems that are keeping us from doing either one of those things. Now, it's not their job to solve the problems, it's their job to bring that back. But you can then track what your activity brings to the bottom line by looking at increased referrals coming to those doctors that you've spent time with or invested or cleared up problems for. We never had that before. And so I actually have worked with one big health academic medical center on the East Coast who thought one of the jobs of their liaisons was to hand deliver the plaques that nominated their doctors for best doctors.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that was a use of their time. And, you know, another one would have calendars made and have them hand delivered to all the practices. No meaningful conversations about business, it was social. Now this changes the whole dynamics. We can say, look, your colleagues are getting these kinds of referrals, you're not, let's talk about why, you know, and really dig deep, and that's important. That's very important.
Let's dive into why it's harder than it should be to have the liaisons growing the business specifically.
Because they don't know where it's going or coming from, right? So if you know that you've got a primary care group, what used to happen is somebody would say, you know, we just haven't seen Dr. So-and-so in surgery lately. I wonder what's going on. Well, would you send a liaison based on one comment like that? Now we can sit down and see exactly what's happening
right to
surgeries or exactly what's happening to the referrals. And we can go and say, look, we've noticed things have dropped off about 20%. What's going on? Can we work together to solve this, you know? Or the other thing is you have 2 doctors that are on your medical team. One's doing very well getting referrals, the other not so much. Let's find out why. You don't go to that doctor, but you go to the referring doctors and say, is there an issue with why we're not getting that? And then the other side of it, which I love, is recruitment. You'll find out when you start to see a doctor starts to drop off on his or her referrals, they might say, well, you know, I'm thinking of retiring. Well, that doesn't get published or announced anywhere, right? And you come back and you say, you know what, let's do this. Let's see if we can get somebody in his or her practice so that he or she can scale down and we scale up and we take over the patients so we don't lose the patients. So they can play a pivotal role in continuity of care as well.
Jean, any other advice for CXO leaders like yourself on thinking about PRM, moving forward with best practices? You've touched on some really great points, but have we overlooked anything that you wish everyone knew?
I would think that people need to know that claims data is accessible. Doctivity has a unique value proposition in that they pay for the claims data, so the clients don't have to. That's a savings of about $300,000. And so what that does is it gives them the benefit of having those insights like we've never had before. So if you haven't taken the time to explore what's out there, a lot of people will send you, you know, they'll tell you, we can send you a list of doctors you can mail to. No, no, no. You want to know who's doing business with your health system.
Next up is Melissa Fors Shackelford. She's a healthcare executive in residence at Endeavor Management. Melissa discusses what she learned about PRM during her time at Betty Ford Clinic, how to educate physicians about addiction and behavioral health, and what success looks like for service lines that depend even more on referrals.
Now let's pivot a little bit closer to referral management strategies. And you can draw on your experience across your career, but I'm thinking most obviously at the Betty Ford Clinic, you must have been very dependent on referrals from physicians across the country. But can you talk to your thoughts about PRM as a marketing leader and where it fits into your toolkit?
Well, I think in healthcare marketing, and if you look at substance use disorder and mental health in particular, my experience is that physician referrals and professional referrals make up quite a large percentage of the patients that come in the door. And I think that you find that in all of healthcare. What makes substance use disorder and mental health unique is that oftentimes physicians don't have much education in the subject of substance use disorder or addiction. And so part of that whole working with physicians to gain referrals for patients is really also educating them on the subject and the disease of addiction.
You mentioned the educational aspect that was so important to your referral success. Can you talk to the evangelizing you did about addiction and behavioral health with community physicians?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think just because one of the things that we've learned is that physicians oftentimes only get about an hour of education on addiction and substance use disorder in medical school. Mm-hmm. So some of the things that the Betty Ford Center started was a summer institute for medical students. So bringing medical students on campus for their summer education, teaching them about addiction, bringing them on the clinic floor so that they could work with patients and really have a better understanding of the disease of addiction. So that was really important to get to those physicians in training, if you will.
Yes.
As well as part of our marketing and outreach efforts was really important item we did was to educate physicians across the country, whether it was at an addiction medicine event or at any other medical event, really to give them more education on the disease of addiction as well as the treatment available for it. It was just really important because a physician is not going to refer their patient to get addiction care if they don't understand the symptoms to look for, if they don't feel comfortable having that conversation, because it's not something that they necessarily run into every single day.
Now, what would have been some of the metrics or key success factors that the team would have been measured by? Was it strictly referral volumes, or was there more to it than that?
So it's hard. Mm. Of course, referral volumes is really important. And then also the conversion of those referrals, so to make sure that they ended up being a patient. But with substance use disorder, maybe unlike some of the other health conditions that physicians refer patients for, they're not going to have a patient every single day. So oftentimes it's that cultivation of that relationship and that building of the trust and making sure that when that provider finds a patient that they're concerned about, they can not only identify the symptoms to look for, but also then make the referral. So building those relationships with providers who could make those referrals was really a critical metric to look at.
All right, next is Molly Luton. She's the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at Ballad Health. Molly dives into how qualitative and quantitative data complement each other, the opportunities and challenges that come with addressing employed and community physicians at the same time, and some of the obstacles to growing volume with referring physicians.
Would you agree that the qualitative data often informs what the quantitative data is suggesting, and vice versa?
It does. I think more often than not, it really does. I think that you can draw conclusions certainly from hard data, but the color, it's like if you watch a football game, you're watching NFL. One of the things that, in my opinion, that has made Peyton Manning's broadcast and his version of the NFL broadcast so interesting is his additive color. Right? It's his experience. It's his knowledge of the game. And it's he just signed a, 10-year contract in addition to what he already had in Peyton's place. So to me, that's the exact example of why all this stuff's important to us. We have the quantitative data, but if you don't have that qual on top of it, that qualitative, it almost just sits there as a black and white story. You don't see the whole color, right? The drawing of the art, you know?
Yeah. Now, we've heard people describe the challenge of working with both employed physicians, but also community physicians who don't have that affiliation with your system. First of all, is that a description of what you experience at Ballad?
Yes, that would be accurate too. We have a solid, certainly employed physician, you know, group, but the non-integrated physicians can equally be almost as important, if not more important. We need to make sure that they know what they have available for their patients. The employed physicians might have more knowledge simply because they have some educational access, just national conversations that they're going to be having with us as an employee. But the non-integrated physicians for us, we want to make sure that they know they can count on us, that we have the services available to them. We need to listen to them to make sure that we can build the services they might need that we might not already have. And if they don't have a straightforward kind of line of communication with us through our business development team, we might never hear that they need XYZ service to be added to our portfolio that ultimately our patients can get what they need. So the balance between integrated and non-integrated physicians is an important one. Our health system is very much of a physician-led leadership structure where we have everything from emergency medicine physicians to behavioral health folks to family medicine docs. We've got cardiologists that are all in our physician leadership group who help make those decisions. And it's a wide variety of folks, wide variety of trainings that are integrated and non-integrated. And they make decisions for Ballad Health. It's not a matter of, you know, only employed physicians are making decisions on behalf of the health system. We know that we serve the community. We're a not-for-profit health system, and we're here to serve the community. And so if we don't hear from those physicians on both sides of the fence, we're not going to be able to improve.
Right. Now, it seems safe to assume that the goal of most liaisons, it's going to be growing volume or growing market share amongst referring physicians. What are some of the obstacles or hurdles to growing volume with referring physicians, whether employed or non-integrated? Yep.
I think for us, access is probably one of the biggest challenges.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so what I mean by access, I guess there'd be a couple of definitions of it. One would be online scheduling is something we've spent a lot of time on the last couple of years, and ensuring that our patients know that they have access to physicians that are in, you know, in their proximity, in their geography. But really, the physicians understand what they have access to and what they can do to provide care for their patients. We have certainly rural challenges, you know, transportation challenges, things that rural America has to offer. We have broadband issues that are significant in many of our areas, the pockets of our population that doesn't have access to Wi-Fi or broadband at all. We know that access in general is a challenge, and the more we can do to kind of help serve up those types of things for our patients and for our physicians, the better off, you know.
Okay, next up is Chris Pace. He's the Chief Digital Marketing Officer at Banner Health. Chris covers where PRM fits for strategic marketing leaders, seeing physician referrals through the lens of the patient experience, and digital tools that are used for physician liaison work.
You're a strategic marketing leader, and you've got many, many levers at your disposal. Where does PRM fit into a smart marketing leader's toolkit?
Yeah, it's a great question. What we've found in terms of being able to address our customers and our consumers effectively is to, A, focus on omnichannel. I mean, everybody should be doing that in 2024. But when I think of omnichannel, I'm not just thinking of the medium or media that we reach people in. I think it's also important to consider the, what we call internally B2B, but, you know, physician marketing, because they can be advocates or detractors of our brand, especially if they're not employed with our organization. And they sit on a lot of financial benefit if we do a good job at, number one, listening to what their needs are. Number two, identifying where opportunities are, you know, particularly with capacity. So I think the last thing a community affiliated doctor that might need to refer a patient to, let's say, a neurosurgeon if we have access issues and they don't know about them, then all they're doing is frustrating their patients and having them to kind of hunt for their own care. And that's not what a good primary care strategy would be. So just making sure that we're engaged and also being informative on what our focus is and where we do have capacity to meet demand, and making sure that their needs are met. And I think because consumers are delivered so many impressions of everything in their day-to-day digital journey, if we can remind our physicians of what we are saying about our services, and then their patients are coming in to talk about possibly using our services, then they can, you know, again, advocate for our need, our brand, and help deliver those important referrals with the trust that they're not going to lose their patients. And I think that's what everybody that refers always worries about, is my patient going to leak over and I'm never going to see him again?
Right, right, right. I'm intrigued that you're seeing physician referrals through the lens of the patient experience and ensuring that the patient has a successful referral and gets the specialty care that they're ultimately looking for.
Yep.
That's really smart. And having your B2C and your B2B marketing efforts complement one another, that's a really powerful idea that I don't think a lot of people think about.
And I mean, if you think about it, it makes your marketing spend even more efficient. And we all are facing the budget haircuts every year. It's do more with less is the mentality. And so if you're working with your teams, whether they're under the same umbrella as marketing or if they're part of a different organization, collaboration is always the way to win in especially a very complex matrixed organization like a Banner Health, because if you can find that sort of the love language of what matters most to all these different teams, then you can do a lot of cool things and not have to have big budgets, big people, organizations, and just work smarter together.
Well, I also heard earlier that the Banner network writ large is very geographically dispersed.
Yes.
And there's practicalities serving physicians in remote locations that might preclude, you know, a typical liaison doing a face-to-face visit. And you describe digital tools that you're using to supplement the reach of your liaisons. Can you talk to those digital tools? Because those sound potentially very powerful.
We essentially, you know, we've learned a lot through our consumer CRM side on how to reach people with right message, right moment, right channel. At the end of the day, doctors are people too, and they consume content the same way that us regular humans do. So using an approach where, you know, the right amount of content, giving what's in it for me type message is important. And then, you know, having access to physician contacts is paramount. And when you don't have a field team that's out sort of scraping any data they can get while they're in the offices and plugging it into a CRM, you know, we use a Salesforce instance to help alleviate some of this challenge. But again, without a field team, it's really trying to find the right needle in the right haystack. And digital gives us a better chance to do that than other, like maybe guerrilla marketing tactics that you might try in a small community that has a critical access hospital that we own.
And finally, we have Amy Como, the Vice President of Marketing at Emory Healthcare. Amy talks about where provider relationship management fits among her priorities, where she sees liaisons succeeding, and how digital tools drive physician relation efforts.
Let's pivot, if we could.
You got it.
To the topic of provider relationship management.
Yes.
Or PRM, as we call it. And from a CXO perspective, we've got a unique viewpoint on its significance, its challenges, and its working.
Yes.
Let's start with just from a CXO perspective, like, where does it fit into the larger landscape of things that you focus on and prioritize?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, we're looking out, our goal is on patient acquisition, retention, and loyalty. But we know that, especially in some of our specialties and subspecialties, that more than 50%, in some cases up to 70% of new patients come to us through physician referral, right? They're diagnosed somewhere, their physician says, you need to go see an oncologist, you need to go see a cardiac surgeon. And so that is the touch point for that referral. And so in addition to all of our direct-to-consumer work, we build in what we call it B2B work, but our direct-to-physician marketing work that is, whether it's direct mail, wanting to get more into email, which is certainly where, you know, the PRM solution, which is to CRM solution, comes into play, and then partnering with our physician outreach colleagues throughout the organization on how we can also help them when they're actually out in the field talking with potential current referrers or new referrers.
Now, can you speak to some of the tactics that these liaisons might be using?
Yeah.
I'm assuming face-to-face,
yes,
to the extent that they can get meetings with physicians. That's going to be really powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm right with that. But are there digital tools or other tools that are being used?
Yeah. Well, so I know that the majority of what they do is face-to-face, and probably they're utilizing email and, you know, and phone to connect one-on-one with these practices. Where we augment the work that they do is through direct mail. We create the leave behinds for them, so profile sheets, new physician announcement cards, those types of things. We're starting to do more in what we call B2B marketing, but we do more using digital, so programmatic digital, to reach physicians where they are. And then we're starting to explore how we might be able to use our Salesforce CRM as potentially a PRM, so that we can actually develop a customized email program by specialty. We've done it in a couple of areas, but not at scale yet, and that's what we're looking to do. And I think that being able to build that and then take all of the things that we're doing, that we're like we would for a consumer, that we're with trackable UTM codes, all of that, to be able to do that with PRM and then have it pulled into a database that we can then see, oh, did that direct mail piece that we do, did that programmatic ad that we do actually move the needle in referrals? So that's kind of, that's where we're headed, that's sort of the holy grail, if you will, where we want to get to. But we've been focused a lot on trying to do that from a consumer standpoint, but that's the next, because I don't manage the outreach and the physician development team, that's been a little bit more challenging to orchestrate, but it's something that we're looking forward to continuing to partner with that team on to build in next year and beyond.
Thank you for unpacking that. Now, our Doctivity Health listeners are going to be curious to understand your sense of their data strategy that your PRM leaders are using.
Yeah.
Are you close enough to that to comment on the data they use and how they're turning data and all its ugliness and messiness into actionable insights?
Yeah, I will share it probably at like a 50,000 foot view. So we have connectivity into claims data through a syndicated service. They utilize that data to actually look at literal referral patterns and behavior patterns. And so we're able to tell who are our high referrers, who are our low referrers, and who are the ones in between. And we typically focus on, you want to, not reward, but you want to keep your high referrers engaged so that they continue to stay, you know, engaged with you. And then they focus a lot of the work on those people that we call splitters. So they're sending some of their business to us, some of our business to other competitors. And often sometimes that's based off a relationship that they have, right? They went to school with this person, and so therefore they're going to send business their way. Or it's based off of geography. So if we have a primary care office that's in one of the Atlanta suburbs, but we don't have specialists surrounding them, well, then it's more work for the patient to find an Emory specialist, especially if there are competitors that have specialists in the area. So we look at that, but then what our goal is to always try and move the needle that those splitters, we want to get them to increase, you know, we want a larger share of their business.
Absolutely.
The low referrers, unless we typically don't spend as much time because there's clearly a reason why they're a low referrer, and to move them that needle is going to be far more difficult with the limited resources that we have. But that's not to say we don't take a look at it. And so there's the data informs all those decisions. And so we're starting to look at that, and we're actually in particular looking at how we're keeping care within the network by certain specialties. And then, so they've developed some data models that help us understand that as well.
Once again, check out the full episodes by subscribing to Actionable Insights on your favorite podcast app or at doctivityhealth.com.